Well, good morning, moms and dads and boys and girls. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I hope you're having a wonderful day already. Amen? Our text verse for today is from 2 Kings chapter 18. And his mother's name is the title of the message today. It came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. See if you can cut that monitor and get some of this echo taken care of up here for me, fellas. In verse number 2, it says, 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. I want to congratulate you moms this morning on being among some of the best moms in the whole world today. You know how I know that? Let me tell you how. The fact that you are here in God's house ready to worship the Lord this morning, given all the other places and the other things that you could be doing, sets you apart from every other mom on this planet. And I think the Lord is honored by your presence here today. Yeah, you can give God some praise for that. You sure can. Most people do not understand the role that mothers play in the development of our society. I want you to think for a moment about who it is that really holds the power to make the world a better place. I know that this world is headed in a downward spiral. There's not much that we can do about that. The Lord told us it was coming, and it's coming right on the schedule He told us. However, it doesn't have to be like that around here. Amen? Amen. Many people think that God is kind of anti-female, anti-woman. They think that because of the curse, because Eve ate the forbidden fruit and gave it to Adam and her husband, or for whatever the reason, people have the idea that God has just chosen to punish all women. And there are certain consequences that Eve's action did cause that affect all generation of women from then on down. The pain of childbearing is one of those situations. The position of being under the authority of her husband and with a sin nature that does not like that, and more. But before you get to feeling too sorry for yourselves, I want you to remember this. In spite of all those consequences, God has entrusted you with the highest position of influence there is in this entire world, bar none. There are hundreds of scientific studies on this very subject, and they all come to the same basic conclusion. I want to read one of them to you from a University of California study. It says that many people know that a person's character and personality is largely established by the time they're very young. The traits that will define that individual throughout his or her life can be clearly identified when he or she is as little as 7 years old. In a new investigation, scientists show that by the time they start going to school, children already exhibit the personality traits that will remain with them throughout their lives. It says that this was clearly established in a new paper written by the experts at the University of California in Riverside, Life Science Reports. It may well be that much of your genetic pattern, the raw material, in other words, it may be that a lot of that comes from your dad. But it's almost always mom who plays the greatest role in molding a child into what that child, he or she, is going to be, whether good or bad. Scientists have never discovered anything that God did not already know. When you read in your Old Testament about the rulers, those of you who read through your Bible every year, you have noticed this pattern. When you read about the rulers, both the good ones and the bad ones, that reigned over Israel and Judah, you're going to notice a pattern of God recognizing those who are responsible for producing these leaders. Here are some random excerpts from 2 Kings. It'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. It says, in the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. Down in verse 26, it says, and his mother's name was Athaliah. Now, Athaliah was one of the most evil men in the evil women in the history of the world, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab. 2 Kings 11:21. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. It says in verse number 1, his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Guess who took him to be instructed from the priest? 2 Kings 14. As Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 15, we are looking at Azariah, 16 years old when he took the throne, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Why do you think mom's name is mentioned? It's because mom bore the responsibility, the primary responsibility for the shaping of that young character. You're going to see this pattern of recognition continue all through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, recognizes where Timothy first learned to trust the Lord. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned or genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The principle of a mother's influence is evident everywhere you look today. In an interview, our President Barack Obama referred to his mother as the dominant figure in my formative years. He says, the values she taught me continue to be my touchstone when it comes to how I go about the world of politics. Now, whether you're liberal or whatever, or conservative, wherever you are on that, the influence of the mother is absolutely there. What a stark contrast one might observe if you compare President Obama's mother, who is Ann Dunham Obama Soitoro Suturo, with perhaps Barbara Bush. You're going to see the same exact contrast in the policies and the belief systems in those two presidents, because it's on the public stage for everyone to see. You'll see the exact same contrasts that you find in the mothers who raised those two men. Just simply making a point here. It's always that way. You see, moms, the future of this world until Jesus comes is primarily and first of all in your hands to be shaped. You have the potential and you have the opportunity to do more to change the people who are going to govern, the people who are going to lead, than anyone else has. You are in the driver's seat. I don't have a magic formula from the Bible today that's going to make you a super mom overnight. If I did, I would just encourage everyone to take whatever pill it is, because we could sure use some godly super moms today. Amen? But there's some steps that God has laid out for us this morning that you can take that's going to make a real difference in you as a mother and in those whose lives you will be shaping. The first one is that you accept your responsibility in this, and that you determine to be the best mom that you can possibly be. The God who placed those children in your care is also the God who is holding you accountable for how you shape their lives and the influence that you exhibit upon them. There are basically two ways you can look at being a mom today. You can view it as a duty. You can view it as a drudgery, something you are stuck with because you had unprotected sex one time. A lot of moms see it just that way. In some cases, you may be a mom as a consequence of sin and disobedience. That's a pretty common problem going around today. You might be a mom because of a slip-up, something that you might have called an accident. I got online and looked up some dates the other day. My mom had me when she was 43 years old, after giving birth to 11 other children. I am fairly sure I was not planned. Just, you know, pretty sure I was not planned. I want to point something out to you that most people know but don't maybe think of, and that is that women don't get pregnant every time they have sex. Even if it's unprotected, so to speak. Sure, the sexual act is what men and women do. But I can clearly prove to you from the Word of God that conception itself is an act of God. It is God that causes conception to take place. That's Bible from front to back. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures to prove that today. We'll save that for another time. The point of this is that no child is an accident. No child is an accident. Now, you can view it that way if you want to, but you're in error as you do. Or you can and should choose to view your motherhood as a God-given privilege to shape and to mold the most precious of all things, and that is a human life. Whatever the circumstances surrounding their birth, your children are not only not accidents, they, each one of them, is a precious gift from the Lord. And you need to see it just that way. Not only do you need to instill this truth in those precious children, you need to embrace it for yourself. And it will change your attitude as well. You can choose either to resent your children, which is a lot more common today among mothers than one might think. Or you can choose to rejoice and to be thankful for them as the true and the precious gifts that they really are. And you can be sure of this. Whichever choice is in your heart, that choice is going to be reflected in those children. You cannot hide your heart from your children, as much as you might want to or try to. I may not have been planned by my mom and my dad, but I am no accident. If I remember correctly, neither John the Baptist nor Jesus himself was planned by their earthly parents. Case in point. Secondly, let me invite you that you determine to break the cycle of dysfunction and error that you yourself were probably raised up in. If I had you raise your hands of how many of you were raised up in a very dysfunctional family, I'd probably get most every hand in this building. Some of you have a lot to overcome. Why do most moms scream and yell at their kids? It's because their moms screamed and yelled at them. Pretty simple. It did not work when your mom did it. Did it? No, that didn't work then. And it doesn't work when you do it either. What's that definition of insanity we've all heard? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Basic dishonesty. The little lies, you know. Tell them I'm not here. Just go ahead and take that back to the store. They won't know we've had it for 2 years. All the little stuff goes on in the household. Substance abuse, whether it be drugs or alcohol or food, whatever it is. Disrespect. Lack of submission to your husband. There is a long and basic list of character flaws and just plain sin that have become a just a common part of in the lives of most families today. These things become multiplied in your children. You've heard that probably that whatever you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. Have you ever heard that? Well, it is true. It may not be a Bible verse, but it is very much true. There is only one kind of a school here in this world where you can learn to overcome these traits. Matter of fact, there's only one kind of a school in this world that will even call it what it is. Sin. Your church is that school. We are not only here to make sure you're saved and going to heaven. We're here to teach you how to overcome your own history of dysfunction in your life. Some of you came here with a family life that looked a lot more like a war zone than it did a family and a home. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Slowly and surely, God is replacing the war with peace. Slowly and surely, but surely, God is replacing the dishonesty with integrity and the lies with truth. He is transforming the home because He's transforming your own belief system in your own heart. We started our preschool to influence the lives of children. Little did I know how God would be using it to retrain mothers as well. Amen. What a blessing that has been. Amen? Some of you moms have made enormous progress in just a short time. I have seen changes in you and in your children and in the harmony that exists between you that is nothing short of miraculous. Just because there's a place that'll call the problems what they really are and deal with them and teach you how to deal with them with biblical, God-given solutions. What a blessing it is to be a part of something where you can learn things like that. The third thing that I would invite you to do this morning, Mom, is to determine to become the student and the servant of God, the kind that it takes to pass on the truth and the godliness that you're learning yourself to your children. What does it take to be the kind of a mom who can and will mold her children's lives after the Lord? You know, the Bible tells parents that we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, it takes a life that is genuinely dedicated to the Lord. And the key word is the genuineness. Not the sing on Sunday and let it all go to hell on Monday life. You know what I'm talking about. The same consistency that we learn here in God's house, we take it home and we live it out there in our families and let our children see it alive and well working. There are three areas of faithfulness that not only teach you how to be godly and effective in your influence, but they place your children on the same path and in the same kind of school. Dedication to the Lord is dedication to the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Amen? We've learned that. You cannot be dedicated to the Lord without being dedicated to this book, the Bible. Your children need to see you and hear you in the Word of God. And they need to see you practicing what it says in your home and in your relationships with others as they come and go in your life. These little kids come in here at Awana on Wednesday night and they learn their Bible verses. And when they get home, they expect to see Mama doing what those Bible verses say. And they expect to see Daddy doing what those Bible verses say. And they ought to expect Mom and Daddy to be doing what those Bible verses say. Amen? It means that you're going to have some dedication to the work of God. You want your children to do their chores. You want them to do right. You want them to grow up and to learn to be effective and productive citizens. They need to see you faithfully involved in the work of the Lord under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And they need to see it for life. Not something you do for a little while and then you bounce off to something else. The Bible says that dedication to your church, which is the body of Christ, is also what it takes to be dedicated to the Lord. You can't be dedicated to the Lord but not dedicated to the Bible. And you can't be dedicated to the Lord without being dedicated to your church, which is the body of Christ. You can't have it both ways. Your children need to see you faithful and loyal in God's house. David said this in Psalm 27:4. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple all the days of my life." A faithful mom, a godly mom, a scripturally educated mom can pass on truth and godliness even to her children's children as well. And sometimes, as God gives the longevity even to the great-grandchildren, what a blessing that is. Those of you who are the students of the Word today, I see some young moms out here today. Praise God that we have some young moms here at Lighthouse. Amen? Who is going to be the teachers? The ones who instruct, the ones who by example show the next generation of young moms coming in tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years down the road, if you don't stay loyal and faithful to the work of the Lord yourself today. The Bible says in Titus 2:3, the aged women likewise. Now we of course have no aged women here. It's just, you know, one of these days you will be, you know, if you live long enough. I am not going to call anybody, any woman I know, aged. Just, I will deny it if you ever say I did. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. How many of you guys would just appreciate an older Christian woman teaching your wife how to love you? I know you probably can't say that and get away with it. See, you got punched, didn't you? But we all appreciate it. Amen? Every last one of us. Amen. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Some of you younger moms are being transformed by what you're learning from the other older women here. Not old, but older women here in the church. If you don't stay faithful to God, and you don't learn these things, and they don't become a part of you, who's going to be here to teach the next group coming in as we're winning more and more people to the Lord? Every member is placed here by the Lord for a purpose. Nobody is left out. And that purpose is something that cannot happen, cannot be fulfilled in a year or two or ten. The truly effective ones, they're in it, and they're in it for life. They give themselves to the Lord. They give themselves to the word of the Lord, to the work of the Lord, and they give themselves to their church. And they stand. You can come back in a year or 5 or 10, and if the Lord hadn't taken them home, they will be right there teaching the younger ones how to walk with Jesus. Those are the ones that make the difference. You want to be one of those ladies? Can I get a feminine amen this morning? Amen. Okay. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." You see, he's talking about God's house here, the people that make up the church, in whom all the building fitly framed grows together unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation. That's a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Will Lighthouse be a university of motherhood in the years to come? Or will our moms go do their own thing and go their own way and be all about themselves like the rest of the world? Well, here's what I think. I see what God's doing in your life. I see the fruits and the results of genuinely having trusted Jesus to save you from your sins. Here's what I think. Paul said exactly the same thing to the Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 9. He said, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." And if there's anybody who works, and if there's anybody whose labor is one of love, it's mom, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through patience or faith and patience inherit the promises. So happy Mother's Day. By the way, my mom, my mother's name was Ruby Itris Dill. She was born on April 23rd, 1907. She married my dad on July the 4th, 1924, and she died on my birthday on June the 7th, 1979. After raising 11 other kids, my oldest brother was 6 years older than me. There was a lot of time. It was just me and Mom. I won't be able to talk about that without blubbering some, you understand. My mom made a lot of mistakes. My dad made a lot of mistakes. And she always, always told me that I could depend on Jesus. Let's stand again. I visited my mom when she was in the hospital a couple of weeks before she died. We talked about it many times because I was already serving in the ministry by the time she passed away. And we talked about the day in a little Baptist church called Sharon Baptist Church in Greenfield, Missouri, at a revival meeting when she put her trust in Jesus Christ. I'll get to see my mom again. What about you, Mom? Is death going to separate you from your children forever? Or will you be reunited in glory because of having trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? Where do you stand today? If you want to be the kind of a mom that does good by your children, you're going to have to start inside. You're going to have to start with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Until the Lord saves you from your sins and the Spirit of God comes to dwell within, there's nothing there to work with. Do you understand? Maybe it's a commitment to be that kind of mom you need to be. Maybe you just need to trust Jesus this morning. Whatever it is, we're here to help you with that. We're going to sing at least one verse of an invitation. Then we're going to let you go and enjoy Mother's Day. As we sing, go ahead.